Hey everyone, back home at Sheffield. I hope you're all doing well. I'm here in Thailand right now, and even though I'm miles away, I've been thinking about you guys a lot. And I wanted to share something that's been on my heart lately, something I believe that God's been teaching me through this journey. So wherever you're listening from, I hope this speaks to you and encourages you as much as it's encouraged me. So let's dive in. So I'll be talking in continuation with the series that we've been doing on prayer. And what I'll be focusing on today is how do we listen to what God is saying? Now, the reason that I think this topic is so important to us is because as Christians, we are followers of Jesus who are called to listen to what he says and to put it into practice. In Matthew 7:24, it says, "Anyone who listens to my teachings and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock." So this has to be the center of our faith, listening to what God is saying to us and actually doing what he says, savoring every word, every command. We are to be people who care little about the things that this world says to us, but cling on tightly to the word of God. And if we do not pay attention to what God is saying, we become like the foolish man who built his house on sand. And when the rains and floods and troubles of this world come, his house too came crumbling down. But hearing God is hard. Sometimes we feel close to God. We might really engage in a service or get a prophetic word which is spot on. And we get a little tingly sensation. But most of the time, I know I can feel at least that God can feel more far off and distant, and we struggle to hear his voice, or that we forget to listen to what he is saying, or just that there are other seemingly more important things on our mind. But what I want to share briefly about today is a way that God has been speaking to me a bit about how I can tune back into him to build my life around listening to what God says. And putting it into action, to slow down, to step back from how I want to live, and to live as we're made to be in relation with the most loving Father. And if anything I say is helpful, then that's great. But if you walk away today desiring a life that's deeper shaped around hearing God's voice, then that's even better. So I know that you've all heard this before growing up in a church or coming to church, but the best example that we can look at to live out our faith is Jesus. So I'll start by looking at how Jesus lived a life which was perfectly grounded in what God was saying. As we read through the Gospels, the first thing that we see Jesus do is in Matthew 3, when he lets John baptize him, and we get this beautiful image of how the heavens are opening up and God declares that Jesus is his dearly beloved son, and then also the Spirit of God, which is the same Spirit which Jesus said now lives in us, descends upon him like a dove. But from this place, what is the first thing that Jesus, the now declared Son of God, now filled with the Spirit of God, do? Well, in the very next verse, Matthew 4:1, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. Now, there are various translations of the wilderness, but what I think the author is trying to get across to us is that he went to be in silence and solitude. So listen to what God was saying, free from the influence of this world. And it was from this place, and only from this place, that after 40 days, he was grounded enough in his faith, so centered with what God was saying to him, that he could then go from that place and resist the temptation of the devil and start his ministry, which was to change the course of mankind. And I'm not saying that we have to go and wander in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, but the challenge that I felt God saying to me during this is, do I have that space in my day for God to speak directly into my life so that, like Jesus, I can live grounded in what God's saying to me, grounded in his strength to resist the evil of this world, not my own. And I know most of us will have our times to read the Bible or listen to worship music, which is great, but most of these are built around our standards and timings, not God's. I know that's what I can do, at least if I'm not careful. I'll end up reading one chapter a day and praying for this person. And that's ticked off the to-do list for today. But how often do we actually just wait in silence, opening hearts to God, waiting for God to reclaim the center of our lives, putting our agenda to one side, and saying, "Your will, not mine, God." And this isn't a one-time thing. Again and again throughout the Gospels, we see that Jesus needed to go back to the quiet place. He'd wake up early or stay up late, listening, waiting in prayer for God to again set the course of his heart in line with his own. And I know this can be hard. I'm an 18-year-old with lots of time and not very many responsibilities, and I can find it hard to make the space for God sometimes. We live in a world where it's so easy not to slow down. In those moments when we are weakest and most need to turn to God for strength and guidance, we find ourselves getting distracted, picking up our phone, switching on the TV, or putting our headphones in. But Jesus says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." So it's in those times when we are weary, or we just want to switch off or distract ourselves, that we must be disciplined to turn our hearts again back to Jesus, and there we will find the true rest. So how can we go about doing this? Well, something that I've been challenged to do is to spend at least 5 minutes a day, and then I'll come before God with nothing on my mind except for what He wants to say to me. Sometimes I won't be able to focus, and my mind will be darting around. Sometimes I'll reflect on the day, or sometimes I will come before God and I'll feel refreshed again with peace and love from Him. I challenge you to do the same. Maybe start with 5 minutes, but you can build it up. But just set aside that time each day where you can come before God with nothing else on your mind. And I guarantee that after a while, you will look back and be shocked at the change that has come upon your life. Now, I'm sure many of you who are older and much wiser than me already do this. And you'll know that we'll still go through tough times or times when we feel like God is quiet. So I wanted to end with this passage as a bit of encouragement. So in Luke 18, one day Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. There was a judge in a certain city, he said, who neither feared God nor cared about people. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly saying, "Give me justice in this dispute with my enemy." The judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, "I don't fear God or care about people, but this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she is wearing me out with constant requests." Then the Lord said, "Learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will grant justice to them and quickly. But when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on this earth who have faith?" Here Jesus is saying that if we keep coming before God, crying out to him and asking for his word, that we will not be left unanswered. But I think the final line of these verses is what stands out to me the most. "But when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on the earth who still have faith?" What I think Jesus is saying here is that we will face tough times. We will face times where it feels like God isn't there. But he is going to return. And he's challenging us, saying, when he comes back, will he still find those who are crying out to him, asking God to guide their lives?